Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you would open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. On top of that, it's nice to work side by side with another group of believers and see the place come together. So, 1 Thessalonians. How many of the Holy Spirit is your best friend? And how many know the Word says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him? It may seem kind of simple, folks, but just a simple thing as acknowledging Him goes a long way with Him. Because that means He knows you know He exists. And I promise you, the more you'll acknowledge Him in your everyday life, the more He'll bring things to your attention. And the more He brings things to your attention, the more that you act on those things, the more He causes you and begins to make you go from being the tail to be the head. The promises of God were never intended to be accomplished without the presence of Him. So, we talked last week a little bit, the week before last, and again, all these messages are on the website. And I would encourage you, please be a person that loves the Word. Amen? Because I promise you, you hear something one time, you'll remember less than 10% of it. Whereas if you go back and you go onto the website and you pull up the messages and you demonstrate that you value Him and you value His Word and you esteem, as Paul said to one of the churches, what I like about you is you took the Word that came from us and you esteemed it as being from Him and you received it as being from Him. The biggest mistake that we can make is thinking that any one message comes from some guy or some gal. Excuse me, some lady. And not recognize that it comes from Him, especially if it's in line with the Word of God. So, in this walk of developing and creating an environment that facilitates the person of Him, I love what in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3, he says this, is constantly bearing in mind. He says, we give thanks to God for you in verse 2. We make mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. And understand what he's saying here. The work of faith that he's speaking of, understand that faith comes out of your spirit. Everybody say that. Faith comes out of my spirit. And Hebrews says that faith is a now indicator. Faith is not something that comes from you. This is something that frustrates people, and they spend their whole Christian existence trying to get faith when they don't realize that your job is to be a farmer and farm revelation. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He's the Spirit of truth, and He comes to lead and guide you into all truth. And it's not just truth that's coming down the road. It's truth past tense, truth future tense, but it's truth right this moment. And so as being your very best friend, we need to be accustomed to and facilitate our acknowledgement in Him and that He's the author of revelation. He's the one that actually, when faith shows up, when you're reading His Word, you're spending time with Him, faith is what tells you that something in His Word belongs to you. And it's God's way of telling you through the back door, this is yours, take it and run with it. is not something that comes from you. It's not something that you're trying to get enough of so you can move God. God moved. He so loved you, He gave His only Son. So, here in this letter to the Thessalonican church, which was is in Greece, he says, I constantly bear in mind your work of faith. Faith is that's coming out of your spirit. And then it moves from the inside to the outside. And then it goes from your work of faith, or the work of faith. Faith is the evidence of things. Faith is the revealer of things. He reveals things to us to get us to step up into those things. He doesn't reveal things to us so we can collect doctrines and collect teachings and we can get a whole library, a spiritual bookcase of all the latest teachings on any given subject. Holy Spirit reveals things to us so that we'll step up into those things and those things become us. Amen? So Paul says, my prayer for you in I constantly make mention of you in my prayers, and I constantly bear in mind that the work of faith that's in you, the evidence of things that are not seen that continually is shown to you, and then it becomes your labor of love. How many of that takes some effort? Everybody say effort.
Effort.
It's not a cuss word. Effort. Some things take some energy. It's His job to reveal things to you, but it's your job to farm those things out and then put some effort to it. Peter said, in all your, add diligence. Everybody say diligence. And I'm not talking about works here, folks, but we got to understand this. Look, if you want to see things happen in your life with the Lord, then be willing to give Him your energy. Amen?
Yes.
Just be willing to give Him your energy. Jesus is not going to come down off the throne, get back on the planet, and walk around and do things so you don't have to. He shows you things so you can walk those things out, because you have to. We walk by the things that are not seen, not by the things that are seen. It doesn't say you don't walk at all. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and your labor of love and the steadfastness of your hope. Now He's dealing with your soul realm, your mind, your will, your emotions. Because our life with Him, as He puts it in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God, our life with Him is in all three arenas. You live out of your spirit, you live out of your soul, and you live out of your physical body. But it starts in your spirit. So He says, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, by God, His choice of you. How many know that He chose you? Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in, the NASB says, full conviction, just as you're knowing what kind of men we proved to be among you. Now, I want you to notice those words, full conviction. At least in the NASB. Your translation may read something else. But this is a kingdom key. Everybody say kingdom key. See, if we wanted to know how to facilitate the Holy Spirit in our environment of our life, or to facilitate Holy Spirit anywhere, we have to understand His ways. And when we talked last couple of weeks about the local church and the importance of the local church, and so many folks have gotten it wrong, guys. The local church is all of what He's doing. That's what He's doing. He said, the local church, again, he said to Timothy, he said, the local church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. There are a lot of other things going on out there, and that's fine, that's great. But if you want to be in the heart of Jesus, you have to be in the heart of a local church. Because that's where He's working, that's what He wants to do, that's what He gave His life for. There is no term in your Bible called the universal church. Did you hear what I just said? There is no term. We made that term up. Yeah, well, I understand we're talking about the body of Christ, and I understand but the body of Christ is different from the household of God, as Paul mentions in 1 Timothy. So we have to understand that the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit is what's going on inside the local churches all over the world. And so Paul says this. He says that our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in full conviction. And I mentioned to you a kingdom key. This is a kingdom key, and we're gonna bring some of these kind of things out in every message we give. Apparently, we don't have that image, so that's fine. But a kingdom key means it's consistent in every area of the kingdom as an operating principle of the kingdom. Because when you're talking about, especially in the environment of the local church, how many know, let's just deal with this church, not anybody else's. In the lifetime of this church, numerous people will walk through the door and believe they have a superior revelation to what's going on. You might as well say amen. And the challenge is for so long, see, if we don't understand how the Holy Spirit thinks, and we don't understand the environment that He is really associated with, then we're going to let these kind of things just kind of stir up a mess. But if the culture of the church is one that we recognize because we've come to understand and learn it and know it, that there are certain keys to the way Holy Spirit operates and certain environments that He operates in, but then there's other ones that He doesn't. And we're to recognize the difference. Because natural man likes to, remember what Paul said, he says about knowledge, his knowledge puffs up. And I don't care whether you're dealing with the letter that James wrote. He brings it out in chapter 3 about the environment that is Holy Spirit and the environment that's not. And we talked about that in a number of lessons back. But Paul brings out these same things in the letters that he wrote to Titus, the letters he wrote to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, the letters that he wrote to the Thessalonica church in Greece. He brings out the same kind of things. And we're going to get into some of those things this morning. And it's important, folks, that we understand that one of the keys that is the kingdom of God is the fact that anything that comes from Him has a built-in assurance inside of you. It doesn't lead you to insecurity. It doesn't lead you to feeling unsafe. It doesn't lead you to feeling less valued. It doesn't lead you to feeling like there is no safety with Him, because you just never know. Those aren't things that come from Holy Spirit. Those things came out of the mind of a man. And if you understand that, Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, when our gospel came to you, he said, it didn't just come in word. That's not Microsoft either. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. Okay, it was a dumb preacher joke. Just forget it. It didn't just come in word. It came in power. It came in the Holy Spirit. But it had with it an assurance. And the thing that's interesting about this word in the Greek is it's actually in the Greek New Testament, it's actually two Greek words put together. And what it's saying, what it's communicating to us is the fact that the assurance, what it builds into you when something that comes from heaven, the source is the Holy Spirit, it has built into its DNA the ability to make it be in your knowing like you're putting on clothes or you're taking on something as if it's instinct. There's that level of surety with it. And there are a lot of things, and you know, we'll touch on a couple of things as examples this morning. There are a lot of things that have been taught in the body of Christ and taught in local churches that have done exactly the opposite of building assurance into you. But see, if we don't understand how Holy Spirit thinks and how He operates in the environment in which He traffics, can I use that word? We'll let it all come on by, and you know, we'll just think, well, they have a higher revelation, maybe. We'll have people that will come into this environment, and they'll believe they have a higher, they'll have a more spiritual revelation or a higher vision from Jesus than what's being discussed. But as James says, if that higher revelation brings you to a place of being divisive and angry, it's not him. He doesn't do that. And besides that, if he brings you to a higher place of revelation, supposedly, then he gave it to you for you to walk it out yourself, not give it to somebody else. So, the gospel that is from him, the environment that the Holy Spirit traffics in, it's to produce a full assurance, a certainty in you. Faith is the evidence. One translation says faith is the assurance of things. Things that a kingdom key, things that come from him, have woven into the DNA of those things an assurance that it brings to you. Because his thought process, his mindset, his goal is to establish you, not to destabilize you. Amen? So, let's go to get on a motorcycle and ride. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Notice this as an example. In chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says this, that their hearts, he prays that their hearts would be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Everybody say in love. And attaining to all of the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. Notice that full assurance. Father is all about stabilizing you, establishing you, not destabilizing you. Being encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, in a true knowledge or revelation knowledge of that which belongs to God, God's mystery, that's Christ in you, who is and has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How many know if the Spirit of God is in you, then the mind of Father is in you? And there's never anything that's so high that you can't know it. The Word says the things that are hidden belong to the Father, but the things that are revealed belong to you. Faith reveals things. Our job is to farm revelation from His Word, step up into that, make it become instinct to us, and it becomes us. And in doing so, you hang out with the Holy Spirit because He wants you to understand how He thinks, and He wants you to understand what is His environment and what is not His environment. The reason why we have so many challenges in local bodies is because people just don't understand what is Holy Spirit and what is not. Now let's take on a little trip here. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're in 1 Thessalonians. Interesting enough, in Colossians chapter 2, at the end there, the reason why Paul was praying that they would be encouraged, knit together in love. Notice it says, he doesn't say they're separated. He says they're knit together in love. Love is a uniter. The Holy Spirit is always a uniter. The Holy Spirit is not an isolator. Everybody say that. Holy Spirit is not an isolator. So when you find people, because you know people that are always trying to escape and always trying to get out and always trying to get away from and stay away from the local church, you have to understand that's not a higher level of spirituality. That's a higher level of hurt. Because Holy Spirit is one that unites and knits together. He doesn't separate and isolate. So, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll never forget the first day I read this. I was raised in church my whole life. Some of you can relate. And then I was taught that this whole subject. How many have ever heard of the apostasy? in the last days. Man, I was raised on that stuff. They had all kinds of movies. They wanted to scare the Jesus into you. And they always use these verses. But what I have found is religion never gets it right. And I'm actually kind of shocked that at least you could have a 50-50 shot at it. But it never gets it right. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to set anybody up. But if you're raised like me, you're going to answer the same way I answer. From the general understanding of what has been talked about the apostasy in the last days, who is it that falls away? The church. How many can read English? Look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we're still in the context of those things that come from the Holy Spirit have an assurance and a stability and establishment that it builds into you, not the other way around. The things that come out of the mind of a man have in them the DNA that destabilizes people. I'm telling you, you can divide it as clean as that right down the middle. If it brings establishment, if it brings assurance into your life, it's coming from Him. If it brings a destabilization in your life, then it's coming from man. It's clear as that. Let me ask you a question. Now, is in the last days, the subject of the apostasy, of the falling away of the church, does that bring stability and assurance in your life? No. You know why? Because it didn't come from Him. Now, chapter 2, First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And again, these verses are nothing anybody hadn't read. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come, because people were telling them. See, darkness hadn't changed. If I can sow destabilization into your life, this is what I want to do. I want to destabilize you. I want to some kind of way, in your thought process and in your emotions, drive a wedge between you and the security of you and your daddy. So Paul's dealing with the exact same stuff. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. And that's the day of the Lord. Unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God and object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. And then he says, don't you remember when I was with you, I told you these things. And so we keep going down. And verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed from the Lord. The Lord will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one who's coming in accordance with the activity of Satan with all power, signs, and false wonders, with all deception and wickedness. Verse 10. For those who perish because they did not... Now we're still talking about the apostasy, right? Right? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Wait a second. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the world. It didn't say they were saved, now they're not. It says they rejected it from the beginning. You got to understand the kingdom principle. God always gives you the desires of your heart. Whatever is the desire of your heart, if you push it and push it, He'll give it to you. Romans chapter 1. They chose not to acknowledge Him as God, but they were separated and they started doing all kinds of things. And so He gave them over too. He gives you the desires of your heart. That's the way Father functions. So what this is talking about, when it's talking about the apostasy, He's saying those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. In other words, they never were. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Why? Because He wasn't their first love. They never loved him to begin with. They were never kingdom people. They were never what the word would call born from above. They rejected that. They didn't receive the love of the truth. I think the first time I saw that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I've been reading this wrong all my life. But he goes on to say, in order that they may be judged who did not, I'm going to say did not. That isn't, it didn't, it doesn't, nowhere in this verse does it ever say they did at one point and now they don't. They did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So he just said, you can have it. If you want to believe that, I'll let you believe it even to the wildest extent of your imagination. Because you're going to get the desires of your heart. The apostasy was never had nothing to do with the church, ever. It had to do with the world. Because the gospel came in not just word, but power, Holy Spirit, and full assurance. Once they rejected that, he said, fine, you rejected the love of the truth and you never got saved. So I'm going to give you over to what you want, a deluding influence. And boy, is it going to delude. Verse 13, but, everybody say but. We should always give thanks to God for you. Now, who's he talking to now? Church. He wasn't talking about the church. Now he is talking about the church. We should always give thanks for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God's chosen you from the beginning. For salvation through the setting apart of the Holy Spirit and faith in the truth, for it was for this he called you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to another. Can you see now, you see the difference between that which came out of the mind of a man and that which came from the Spirit of God? So we can just, you know, throw away all these dumb books that are trying to sow instability in your life. Because the gospel comes to you with not just word, but power, Holy Spirit, and full assurance. Now, that was one sacred cow. But I know you guys are still hungry. So let's go to another one. And boy, I'll tell you, in some circles, this is a biggie. But folks, I'm going to set some people free this morning. Well, not me, the Holy Spirit will. I'm just going to throw it out there. But see, no. What I love about this group is nobody in here gets mad about this because they spot it. And they say, that's the Lord. And so they grab it and they go with it. And we make it part of our culture. Pastor Shelby said something about, aren't you glad we're not religious? I am glad we're not religious. Because religion, Paul says religion hurts people. It hurts people. Holy Spirit's not interested in hurting people. And I promise you, this next thing we're getting ready to talk about has hurt a whole heap of people. Because we thought we were being spiritual, and we weren't reading our Bibles. Go to, where should I start? Go to 1 Timothy. And let's look at this one. First Timothy is talking about the environment that we're supposed to conduct ourselves in the household of God, which is the local church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I urge you to instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Man, I'll tell you, when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I met every kind of fruit and nut there was that had some new revelation or something. Tulsa's great. The environment's great. But the fact is, I mean, any place you have people that are hungering after the things of the Lord, you're going to have ridiculous junk going on too, trying to derail people. And all kinds of strange mess. We used to hear about stuff going on in California. I think, man, the whole world's going to hell. But he says, instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. He says, or pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which rise to mere speculation. How many know if you're speculating on something, that's not assurance? Holy Spirit's not, as we've talked about, he's not in the speculation game. He said, it gives rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God. And I'm just going to say this, because in our future, folks, you're going to run into a number of, if you've heard this one time, you'll hear it a number of times. You're going to run into all kinds of folks that they're really not interested in furthering the administration of God. How many know God has an agenda? Jesus poured out his blood for an agenda. Paul called it the interests of Jesus. But there are a lot of folks that are not interested in the interests of Jesus or furthering those interests. They're only interested in a particular theology or a particular vantage point or a particular thought that they've woven into the scriptures, and they just want to teach that. And I'm not speaking against anybody. I don't have anybody in my mind, so nobody go there in their heads trying to figure out, well, who's he talking about? I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just telling you, in the future of this local church or any local church that you'll ever step foot in, you're always going to find folks that they don't understand that the reason you're breathing, the reason you're in the kingdom is to further his administration, not your own. And really, that understanding, that foundation, is really built into what we're getting ready to talk about. But because we haven't understood that that was the foundation from which Paul was speaking, we have all kinds of crazy, goofy doctrines about who's allowed to get involved with the gospel, who's allowed not to get involved, who's not allowed to say anything, who's supposed to do all the talking, who's supposed to be doing all the leading, who's not allowed to lead. Just give me a fork with a cork on it. Because if we take all of those things that Paul says about these things and take it off the foundation of furthering the administration of him, then it just begins to take on the mindset of a human being, and then it hurts people. Right? So our job is to, our culture and our assignment is to further, anything we do, we want to further the administration of him. If it doesn't further his administration, it might be a great talk, but really not interested, not going to touch it. Because all it will do is weed into you speculation. Paul talks about it like this. He talks about it in the framework of evil suspicions. Colossians 2 verse 8, he says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deceptions, according to the traditions of man, or what comes out of a man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Folks, if there's anything that you should understand, that the world completely functions on the element of, I've got to be able to sow into your thought process evil suspicions on anybody else. You can see that from the very beginning. What was it that Lucifer said to Eve? Did God really say? Does he really mean? What's he doing? He's sowing evil suspicions into your thought process. Okay. Now let's jump forward. There's so much stuff here. I just got to pick and choose what I'm going to say and bring out, because go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. He says this, therefore, I want the men, everybody say men. Now, the word men here, here's a deep thought for you guys. The word men here is really saying men. men or husbands. And that's another thing you got to understand from Paul's writing. So much of the time, when he actually says man or men, when he talks about man or woman, he's really speaking husband and wife. That's in his writings. You have to understand that. He'll be talking about man and woman, and then he'll bring up Adam and Eve. Well, Adam and Eve weren't just a man and a woman. They were married. So he's talking about husband and wife. So, but in this verse here, he says, my desire is, I want the men, everybody say, I'm a man. Females don't say that. All the guys say, I'm a man. Yeah. In every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath. Without wrath. You notice the Holy Spirit doesn't do wrath? Or dissension. Now the word dissension there has to do with reasonings that you developed in your mind. How many have heard somebody just basically slice and dice somebody else because in their perspective they didn't believe the right way on a particular issue? You don't have to answer that question. I know it's true. And so it causes dissension. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, Paul says this, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words. How many know the church is supposed to be the source of sound words? What are sound words? Those that bring assurance, complete certainty. Because that's what comes from the Holy Spirit. Because the local church is the foundation and the pillar of the truth. So, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, what did I say? 6 verse 3, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is, verse 4, conceited and understands nothing. He has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions. Folks, if it sows evil suspicions into your thought process, you better nip it in the bud and get it out the door as fast as possible. Because that is not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit sows certainty and assurance. And then he goes on to say, in verse 20, avoid worldly or empty chatter, the opposing arguments of that which is falsely called knowledge. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, very interesting verse. He says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. How many know that's the product of what the world system produces? Is somebody who doesn't believe anything about anybody at any time, ever. Because the world has sowed into them and they've become defiled, so nothing is pure, nothing. They'll come into the gospel and they'll immediately start trying to filter everybody through that filter that the world put in them. And that's not Holy Spirit. I don't care if you call it a spirit of discernment. It's not. Because it's not from Him. So, he goes on to say in verse 16, they profess to know God, but this is an interesting verse, because it was completely misunderstood when I was growing up. We tried to put it in the context of the end times, but he says they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him. By their deeds they deny Him. Being detestable and disobedient, worthless for any good deed. Now, what are the deeds? Well, it doesn't mean they go out and smoke, chew, and cuss, and run around with those who do. They deny Him by their deeds because they, in the context of 1 Timothy chapter, I believe it's chapter 6, they've separated themselves from people. In fact, see if I can find it here. I've got so many verses. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. It says this, that in the last days, how many were in the last days? Difficult times will come. Men will become, and see, we read all of these things and we forget the very first thing he mentions. Men will become lovers of self. Okay, now let's forget about everything else that's mentioned there. Jump down to verse 3. What's the product of being a lover of self? Well, verse 3, you're unloving to anybody else and you're irreconcilable to anybody. Let me ask you a question. Is that happening? It happens every day. People make a decision. I'm done. Local church, I'm out of here. Partly because of hurt, but partly because, you know, hey, how many great revelations do people get on their couch that they never got in a local church, and so they run before they get on their couch? And it's in the wrong frame, so the picture is wrong. So then anybody else that doesn't agree with that is wrong. So then it all does is stir up strife, cause speculations, and then it creates anger. Do any of those sound like they come from him? No. So he says in the last days, what's going to happen is people are going to become lovers of self, and part of being a lover of yourself is you're irreconcilable to anybody else. And then verse 5, they hold a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. He says in verse 7, they're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I said this, I was raised in church, and we always put those verses into the context of somebody else's denomination. But really what this is talking about, folks, is when they say you're denying the power, if you deny the power, it's because you deny the love. Because the love is the source of the power. Without the love, in fact, Paul told the Thessalonican church, I believe it's Thessalonica, he said that all those that reject him, they're going to spend eternity away from the presence of him and away from his glorious power. Because his presence brings his power. Everybody say grace. His presence brings his power. So if an individual who decides, well, I have a better revelation, I have a higher revelation than what's being taught in the local church, and so I'm not going to associate with those guys because they just don't get it. First of all, you became a lover of yourself and you become irreconcilable to anybody else because what did Paul say the love of God does? It knits together. It doesn't separate out. And so now because they've isolated themselves, they have a form of godliness. It looks righteous. It looks spiritual. But it's not because they've denied his presence. Because his presence would immediately bring them back. Because that's what his presence does. Holy Spirit is a uniter. He's a knitter together. He's a builder up. He's not a tearer down. He's not an isolator. I guess we'll get into the other subject next week. They're always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That word knowledge is the word revelation. You know why they're never able to come to the revelation of the truth? Because you can't reject the presence of him but want what he thinks. Did you hear what I just said? No person can reject the presence of him, but yet want what he thinks, and as if he's going to give it to you still. The only revelation he's going to give you is stop being irreconcilable, get back, and receive being knit together with the body. Once you make that move, now we'll talk. Now I'll start showing you things. But you're going to run into these kinds of folks all the time. So it's important that we understand how to deal with them. We're not just going to run them over. But you got to understand where they're coming from. One of the places in these letters that Paul says, he says, look, understand this. If an individual continually tries to stir up speculation and strife, you have to understand that the only reason that he's doing that is because he's self-condemned. It's not our job to condemn him more. But it is our job to do what the Spirit of God says. If he refuses to change and he continues wanting to, he or she continues to want to keep sowing these seeds of speculation, division into an, in a culture of a local church. When Holy Spirit's trying to sow a culture of assurance, establishment, certainty, people being knit together in love, and darkness comes in and brings somebody in who may feel like they just may be ignorant of the environment that Holy Spirit runs in. They may just feel like they've arrived at a higher level and they want everybody to see this, but they don't understand how Holy Spirit works. But if they won't receive correction, then Holy Spirit's telling you, then have nothing to do with them. It's the only place in the entire Word of God where in the New Testament where God tells you specifically, mark that person and don't have anything to do with them. I've seen all kinds of mess in my lifetime in ministry. I've seen people that get marked because they left a church. And so therefore, because they left a church, nobody's allowed to associate. That's not Holy Spirit. The only place the Holy Spirit tells you specifically to mark an individual and have nothing to do with them, and obviously the understanding is until they allow themselves to be changed and influenced by his presence, is somebody who continually refuses to receive correction, who keeps trying to sow speculation, sow their pet doctrines, sow division, and those kinds of things. Because it's counterproductive to what Holy Spirit is trying to do in a body. Does that make sense? Okay. Man, I wanted to get into this next subject, but we can't. Let me just put it this way. I'm gonna plant this seed. And I'm not putting this out there because I'm trying to sow speculation. But I promise you this, if you'll study it out, you'll find that I'm actually telling you the truth. This is scenes of next week. How many have ever heard that women are not supposed to be in ministry? Let's go one step further. How many have ever heard that women are not supposed to be pastors? Do you want to stand up, or do they know what you look like? Let me show you what one looks like. I'm going to tell you this. You can't find that anywhere in your New Testament. And I'll tell you this. The reason I say that is because most every place in the letters of Paul, and we're going to get into it next week, all the places where Paul mentions man and woman, husband and wife, and he talks about deacons, elders, overseers, all that. In your Bible where it says man, that word doesn't appear in the Greek New Testament. It's not there. There's a very specific word for man, male, husband. If the Holy Spirit means a very specific individual who is a male in gender, he usually uses the Greek word aner. A-N-E-R. If he's talking about man in general, he'll use the word anthropos. We get the word anthropology. But none of those words are used in any of those verses that talk about women in ministry. It's not there. The Greek word that's there is the Greek word T-I-S. You say, what is that? That word T-I-S in any place in your Bible simply means anyone, whether they're male or female, anyone. So ladies, that kind of lifts the lid, doesn't it? Just blow that lid right off of there. Why? Because Holy Spirit loves people and he doesn't isolate people. And I've been in all kind of thought processes that taught that kind of stuff. The woman's only allowed to play the piano. How dumb can you get and still breathe? Like females aren't, they can't hear Holy Spirit. Anyway, scenes of next week. Hope you all show up and come back. Everybody stand up. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Aren't you glad that Holy Spirit's an assurer and a sower of certainty? Father, we just love you and praise you. And I thank you that you so desire for us to see what you see. And to know what you know. So that we'll just simply make it be our instinct and live like you live. Thank you for teaching us about that which comes out of the mind of a man versus that which comes out of your mind, so that we'll guard the gift that you've given to us in this local church. And it can accomplish all that's in your heart for it to accomplish. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your direction. We thank you for your boldness. And we thank you for your clarity of understanding that you put in our life because you gave us your Spirit. And I declare right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that those standing here and those that are within the sound of my voice, that the Spirit of clarity, as they make a decision to receive that which comes from you, Holy Spirit, that clarity will begin to flow into every facet of their life and their thinking. And they'll stop vacillating between two opinions. And they'll just simply say, Jesus, I'm about your interests. And in case you're wondering, I'm all in. And we just give you praise for it and glory for it. And we thank you, Lord, as we guard this environment and guard this culture that you're trying to establish, that you fill this house. Not only this one, but everyone at the sound of my voice and any other local church, that as those people grab onto your heart and your mindset and your perception and your vision, that you'll fill those houses too. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we stand against that spirit of terrorism that's trying to run rampant and roughshod over this nation and over all the nations of the world. And we declare, you're done. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, no weapon formed against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will prosper. No evil will come near its dwelling because he gives his angels charge over it. And Father, I thank you that you increase angelic visitation and angelic appearance, if for no other reason to scare the hell out of people. And I just thank you and praise you for it. Let your name be glorified. Let it be lifted high in this world. And may natural man know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there is no other. And everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Well, I love you guys. As always, thank you. It's good to see you guys. Go have a blessed week, because you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.